Ms. Lisa. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Today, we're going to read one of those stories that our children, or as children, have known. Maybe they even know better than we do. One of the Bible stories in the New Testament that is probably the best loved and the best known. And so I'd like to draw from this story of Zacchaeus this morning a few truths to share with you as we read Luke chapter 19. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the first 10 verses. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. God's word says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost.'" Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. There's some things, I don't know if you're all aware of it, some of the young people may not, but there are some things money cannot buy. As we look at what real change looks like this morning, Zacchaeus, there's some things money can't buy. And I want you to know that. That's the first truth I want you to know today. There are many things money can't buy, and let me share a few of those with you. Money, some people think you can buy anything. I don't know how long this purchase ago has been, but it's probably going on more than we realize. Someone paid around $300 million just for a boat. Can y'all believe that? Just for a luxury. They just had the money. They just wanted to spend it on something. Who could put that in the Alabama River? We couldn't use that, could we? Or one of the creeks and stuff around here. But $300 million. That's crazy. I saw also where someone paid $2,600 for a bottle of water. Bottle of water that came from Greenland. I'm sure it was, it was from some glacier. They're trying to sell you some rare glacial water from Greenland, $2,600. Ladies, you would like this. What about that? $1 million for a vacuum cleaner. Could you imagine that? It's 24 karat gold, so it is fancy. This is for people who have those yachts and have those Lear jets and all of that. They just want something else to show off. So there are some things that money can buy, obviously, but there are some things that money can't buy. And you know, verse 1 tells us that Jesus entered Jericho as he was passing through. And this wasn't the first time. This happened at the end of his ministry. There was not much time left before he was going to the cross. So this was just a few days before the cross, before Jerusalem and the crucifixion. He had been in Jericho many times before, but this time was his final time to come through. This was his last time to go through Jericho. And Jericho was one of the most important cities of all of Israel. It was a center of trade and commerce and business and industry and agriculture. It was a very important location. It had been important for generations. King Herod built something there. King Herod built a, you can't hardly see it, but a hippodrome there. But you can see how long it is. It's on the Mediterranean coast. When I went to Israel several years ago, I was able to see that. But it is just it's just amazing. They would race horses up and down through there. That's why it's long like that. And people would sit in the grandstands and just cheer and all of that other. And so King Herod built a hippodrome. City of Jericho was known for a couple of things. It was known for balsam, and it was known for dates. And so the balsam was grown there, and it was harvested and produced, and dates from the palm trees were there as well. And it was that Jesus just happened to be entering Jericho on this one occasion, on a sunny day in March, just a few days before the crucifixion. And by now he's well known. He's already produced all these miracles and everything else. Everybody either loves him or they either hate him. And so after 3.5 years of ministry, no one can ignore that this is Jesus. And when the crowd begins to spread that this unique miracle worker is coming to town, they begin to hear this. They all begin to come, and hundreds, perhaps even thousands, begin to flog to an area where he's coming down the narrow streets as they want to meet him. Even the most hated of the people want to meet him. A man by the name of Zacchaeus. Verse 2 tells us that he is the chief tax collector, which means he is not an Indian, he's a chief. He's the bigwig. He's the top dog. And he's very wealthy, is what it says in verse 2. Luke's telling us that he was wealthy because he was a chief. In those days, the Romans controlled the taxation of Israel. And it was divided into districts, three districts to be exact. One in Caesarea, where the hippodrome was, one in Capernaum, and one in Jericho. And a man would be hired for something like a district commissioner to be in charge of the taxes. The Romans would say, here's how much tax I want you to collect from your district. And so this district commissioner, or Zacchaeus, would make sure that he received such and such amount from his district, and then he would add a little bit extra, or a lot extra, whatever he wanted to do to line his pockets, he would add extra. And that's why he became wealthy, because he would get what the Romans wanted, and then he would get much, much more from the common people. He was an extortioner. He was greedy. That's what tax collectors did. They would pressure and intimidate, and they would steal money from the common, hard-working people of Israel. Kind of sounds like our taxation system in America, doesn't it, today? The ancient writers tell us that Israel was among the most taxed of all the nations in the first century, and Zacchaeus was responsible for it. He was the head man. He was a chief tax collector. He already had three strikes against him. Number one, he was a tax collector. Number two, he was a crook. He was greedy, selfish. And number three, he worked for the Romans. People of Israel couldn't stand the sight of all of those three things and couldn't stand the sight of Zacchaeus. He represented everything that was wrong with Israel in the first century. The system worked this way. Rome, again, would get their money, and then Zacchaeus would get his money. So it tells us, Zacchaeus tells us, or shows us, that you can be rich. You can have a $300 million yacht. You can have a $1 million vacuum cleaner. You can have all the money, Solomon tells us this, and not be happy. But I want to give you a second truth. We see in the story that there are so many hungry hearts. There are so many needy people that are needing things, just like we see in our world today. Verse 3 and 4 tells us, we know the story is about Zacchaeus, but everyone needs Jesus. And so in verse 3, it says he wanted, Zacchaeus had a problem. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But he was short in stature, so he couldn't see who Jesus was. He couldn't see him because of the crowd. I don't know how tall he was, but he was short, but he was a very rich man. And he was a very hated man, too. So perhaps he tries to stand on his tippy toes, but it doesn't help. Or maybe he starts pushing a little bit because he's wealthy. He has a little bit of arrogance. He begins to push through the crowd, perhaps. He says, "Excuse me, I've got to get through." But when they see who it is, when they turn and see who's pushing on them, maybe they yell at him. They maybe even curse at him. Or perhaps they even spit in his face. Zacchaeus can't get his way through the crowd. So in a show of determination, as Jesus moves down the streets with the enormous crowd, perhaps Zacchaeus spots a sycamore tree, much like an oak tree today. And he climbs. It had limbs probably going down close to the ground. It wasn't like he shimmied up a palm tree or nothing. So he climbed up in this tree. Have you ever asked yourself, what made Zacchaeus want to climb a tree so bad? Why did he want to see Jesus? Well, maybe Zacchaeus had heard through the tax collector grapevine that when Levi, another tax collector, met the Lord Jesus, he was changed. And so maybe Zacchaeus had heard that. Maybe Zacchaeus had heard that when Jesus came to Jericho earlier, there was a blind man that sat on the outside of the city begging day after day after day, perhaps for years, maybe even tens of years, begging for a little bit of food or a little bit of money or whatever he's begging for. And it was blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus, when he had come through earlier in his ministry, he healed blind Bartimaeus. Maybe Zacchaeus knew him as blind Bartimaeus, and now he sees Bartimaeus that can see and that's talking about Jesus. If you lived in Jericho and you were to take a poll which asks, who is the most hated man in all of Israel or all of Jericho, Zacchaeus would have been at the top. If you had asked the second question, who's the least likely person that would want to see Jesus, Zacchaeus would be at the top again. But yet, that's what we see. He climbs up the tree, he's desperate. The man everybody hates wants to see Jesus. And that leads me to the third truth I want you to grasp with me. Only the Lord Jesus makes it simple, makes salvation simple. We make it complex. We try to add things. We try to modify it. He keeps it simple. In verse 5 and 6, notice what it says in verse 5. As he comes down the street, he's in the middle perhaps, great commotion, great excitement. Look at verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, that's the spot underneath the tree where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down." I'm reading a different translation. "Come down immediately. Come down from the tree." That's what he said. Maybe someone yelled, Get that creep out of here. I don't know. There's no telling what all was transpiring. Or maybe just Jesus, as perceptive and as sensitive as he was, he sensed there was a man desperate, needing someone or needing him. If we study the Gospels, all of the Gospels, whenever a person calls upon the Lord Jesus, whenever Jesus calls a person by name, something amazing is about to happen. And so Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to your house today." This is what salvation is all about. Like you and I, before we were saved, Zacchaeus is up a tree. We were up a tree. We may not even realize that when we were in a revival or just in church, we didn't realize that we were lost. Perhaps Zacchaeus didn't know he was lost. He just knew he needed something. And money couldn't buy it. And so Jesus singles him out, just like he did you and I when he saved us. It's a wonderful picture of the grace of the Lord Jesus. How he reaches out to those who are desperate to show his grace and his mercy. The worst of sinners. He saves the worst of sinners. Zacchaeus is one of them. And that leads me to my final point. I want you to know that Jesus changes our view of money. He changes Zacchaeus' view of money. When he was changed, he was really changed. It wasn't a facade he put on. It wasn't fake. It was real. We pick up the story in verse 7. It says, "All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be the guest of a sinner.'" This upset those who didn't really believe in salvation, that they wanted their old ways of doing things. This upset those religious leaders. It upset the other chiefs, you could say. They said, "Jesus, why are you spending time with this man? You know we hate him. You know he robs and steals. He's an extortioner. We can't stand him. Why do you spend time with him?" They muttered. They were offended. But yet they were hypocrites. We know Zacchaeus had been a crook for many years. That's how he became rich. And now Zacchaeus and Jesus were dining together. And the hypocrites are looking at the situation. They're looking at the old Zacchaeus. The Zacchaeus before. They were judging him by his old standards. Do you know that people judge you by your old standards? If you have family that are still around, they remember some of the things you did when you were younger. And if they don't love Jesus, they don't know Jesus, and you try to talk to them about the Lord Jesus, they're going to bring up some of the things that you've done. Some of the person that you used to be. They're going to mention your old standards, just like Zacchaeus had these guys mention to him. They're going to judge you by your old you, by your old standards. I would say, dear friend, pray for them, ignore them, don't let them bring you down. Because Jesus, you know whether Jesus has changed you or not. Hypocrites just don't understand that a man who came down from this tree was a brand new Zacchaeus with a brand new life and a brand new set of spiritual values. He's not perfect, but he's learning and he's growing. Just like you and I. Even though there's some days we take a step back, don't we? And we'll say, "God, forgive me. I still got a lot of growing to do. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that." Some days it doesn't look like it. Verse 8 tells us that Zacchaeus stood up after the meal and said, "Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. By the way, this is the only place in the Bible where Zacchaeus is recorded as saying anything. Not bad for a new convert to have a statement in the Bible about him, is it? If I had something said about me, I would hope it would be a one sentence similar to this. One and only statement. I'll repay half of my possessions to the poor, and I will if I have cheated somebody, I'll pay four times the amount. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I've got a lot of money, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, but I'm going to give half of what I have. I'm going to give it away to the poor. Right off the top. And I'm going to use the other half to pay back anybody I've cheated. And because I'm serious and I want people to know I'm serious and I want you, Lord, to know I'm serious, I'm going to pay fourfold back. That's what he's saying. You know, when it's really just an amazing picture of when you and I really, truly sell out to the Lord Jesus, when we come to the Lord Jesus, if we have a problem, if it's gossip, if that area doesn't change, don't think that anybody is going to buy our Christianity. If whatever area it is, bitterness, unforgiveness, when we have people around us that see us doing those things, don't think they're going to come to Jesus or want to come to Jesus or want to come to the Lord's house here or somewhere else. When they see us gossiping and manipulating and deceiving, Zacchaeus wanted people to know that he's changed. It wasn't the old Zacchaeus anymore. It wasn't the chief tax collector anymore. And so if it's bitterness or if it's temper or if it's treating other people wrongly is your problem, because of the Lord Jesus, because he's changed you, God says you need to give it to him. You need to let it go. You need to put it behind you. Because it's hindering other people. It's hindering maybe children or grandchildren. It's hindering neighbors. It's hindering people you see at the grocery store and other locations, wherever. Be like Zacchaeus. Let it change your view of everything, including your view of money. I think I have one final statement. I want you to trust Jesus today. Whatever it is, whatever area it is, maybe it's an area of your life you're saying, God, I hadn't given it to you. I've given you my soul. I'm saved. I know I am. But I have, in another area, I've kind of controlled it myself. My relationship with someone, something that's happened in my past, unforgiveness, bitterness, gossip, whatever it may be, I hadn't given it to you, Lord. And so today I need to do that. Right where I sit, I just need to confess it. I just need to cry out to you to forgive me. And I need to turn it over to you and let you have it, Lord. Whatever you need to do today. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe you've never trusted him for salvation. Come to Jesus today. Come down to the front. I'll talk to you. You can pray right where you are. God, save me. I trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Forgive me, a sinner. You can do it right where you sit, or I can help you with that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the picture of a changed life that we see from this little man, this little rich man, Zacchaeus. Father, you could care less about all our material possessions and all of those things. We can't take them with us. And so, Father, may we not put too much stock in them, because they have no value as far as eternity. There's some things money can't buy, and you know that, Father. You sent your Son Jesus to pay the price for our salvation. There's no way money can, a dime, a nickel, can even touch any of that, Lord. So thank you for these people. May you convict us today of any sin in any area that we need to surrender to you. In Christ's holy and righteous name, amen. What number, brother?